Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 16. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Figure out the difference between women and men as far as their minds are concerned, which is, I think, baffled the sophists of the ages, all the wise men of the ages. But here's my theory. My theory is that women are like they're in a library and they got five books out on the table and they're doing five things at one time. And they'll say, "What are you thinking about?" And he'll say, "Nothing." And she'll say, "Nothing? What are you thinking about?" He'll say, "Nothing." You say, "It's not possible for you to be doing nothing." But it is possible. Because what guys can do is we can be in the same library you are. We won't even have a book. We don't want to have a book open. We've decided we're not pulling the book down. We'll go over and we'll pull on the shelf. We'll pull the book back a little bit. No. And we can literally not open that book. Women's hearts open up to five books. That's why men can help women around the home with the kids or whatever. And when they had 12 kids, they had plenty to do with all those compartments. Because of birth control, there's a lot more open books that don't have anything to do with guarding the home. It's just there's so much more you can do outside the realm of the straight and the narrow things that were pretty much dictated for most of human history. I hope that's helpful. But what we're seeing is Priscilla's mentioned first or not. My belief is, just like with Phoebe, the people who were receiving the letter and being commended, take care of her, they're being asked to understand that women have a role here, and it's an important role. And so here's an older woman who's doing business, and they need to treat her properly. Because if they've got a problem with Gentiles, then they probably have a problem with women. Do you remember the prayer they would pray? Routinely, "God, I thank you that I'm not a woman, nor a slave, nor a Gentile." Okay, these are things. This was a prayer they would pray in some of their sectors. So understand that here's Phoebe. And Priscilla's mentioned first. Aquila doesn't have a problem with that because he's given honor to her. There are six times Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned in the Bible, and only two of them have Priscilla mentioned first. When they take Apollos aside, remember that? Where'd they take him? To their house. Apollos was only preaching up to John's gospel, and they needed to help him. He was good, he was getting it done, but he wasn't clear about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So Aquila and Priscilla take him to their house and instruct him better. Why was he mentioned first there? Because he's the one doing the major instruction. Others have contended, no, she was the smarter one. Well, sometimes that's true. That's possible. Somebody has a wife that's smarter than they are. But if she's really smart, she'll figure out ways not to let him know it. Because he just needs to have that ability. Part of being a helper is not to make him feel insecure. But the point is that they have done all kinds of psychological tests. Do you know what they find? They find that when there is an educational gap of a woman being more educated than the man, it becomes a little bit of a hitch. It can become a speed bump in their relationship. If it's one more, like let's say he got a high school diploma and she got a bachelor's degree. That can kind of go. But if she's got a master's and he's got a high school and he's a tradesman, even if he's really good at what he does, there's something weird about it. It just makes them feel a little insecure. They've done all kinds of studies, and these are just little things you can pull from that. But that's just proving what God has already demonstrated to us in the Scriptures. And by the way, when I told you about Deborah, she said, "I was a mother in Israel." That's the way she saw herself. Even though she was a prophetess, when she sang her song of victory, she said, "I was a mother in Israel." And that's very important, because that's taking a position of realizing, I've got gifts and abilities, and I can encourage, and I can nurture, and I can help. And in the grand scheme of things, we're all just what? Servants of our God. And if I'm going to be a servant of God, what will He pick me for? He'll pick me for what I'm made for. And what are we made for? Well, men are made for certain things. Women are made for certain things. What if everything falls apart? Then you begin to kind of get a Deborah, and she becomes a little bit more prominent. And our role, fellas, is not to make it such that our wives have to do men's work. We just have to try to figure out how to be the men and represent in our country properly and lead our families beautifully, which is what it means. We rule well our own households, it says of the pastors. We rule well our own households if you're a deacon. It means that you rule it beautifully.
doesn't mean that you rule. It's not even an emphasis on that. It's about beauty of the testimony. The Bible says that these guys had a church in their home. So here we have her mentioned prominently. And if you go chase these down, because I'm not going to spend all my time on this, but if you chase it down, you'll find Aquila and Priscilla, whenever she's mentioned first, it's directly connected to her hosting. She's going to be hosting in the next verse or two. And that's what's happening here. And part of what we've seen, that's just a sidebar. Part of it's bringing them around to that issue without even trying. But the real thing here, and the nut of why he brings them to the fore, is verse 4, where it says, they are given thanks over by all the churches of the Gentiles. They're Jews. He's setting an example for the rest of the people he's just been writing to. The Bible says in verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen. The point here is kinsmen in verse 7. In verse 7, not only kinsmen, but they are my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. See the deferentialness of Paul? Wherever he can push somebody else up above him, he will do it. They were saved before he was. The other apostles knew this couple. And the other thing is they're of note, meaning they probably are big supporters of the cause of Christ, wherever they could be. And again, with Andronicus, what you have is you have a man mentioned first, but Junia. It's very possible they had also a church. Some of these other ones do. Amphilius, Urbane, verse 9, Statucus. These people mostly have Gentile names, unless they're called kinsmen. A lot of them are Gentile. So keep that in mind, because he's trying to show you there's a lot of Gentiles there that are really representing Christ. You know, he's dignifying them by saying hello. Do you know whenever you start saying thank you to everybody and you miss one person, you're in trouble, right? There is a rhyme to the reason here. There's a method to the madness. Okay, he's really not just giving us a bunch of names for no reason. If you look down into verse 14, the Bible says, salute these several people and the brethren that are with them. In verse 15, and the saints that are with these people. These are groupings of two, probably husbands and wives, but they're having church in their home. They didn't even have a church until about the 3rd century because everybody was being killed. You don't have a church and say, we're over here. You know, you basically have church in homes because it was under attack. So these people that he's mentioning are showing examples to the Roman church at large that it can work. And that when it works, it's beautiful. Why is it beautiful? Because the world needs us to get it right. Because getting along with one another, no matter what race, culture, or whatever background we have, even if we were great sinners who got saved or good people all our lives, we got to get along. We got to figure out how to make that work, because God, by His Spirit, wants the whole world to see what a miracle worker God is. And when you see Him beginning to say, the brethren that are with them, the saints that are with them, look at verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. There's a sense in which he's putting forward up to verse 16 the Jew and the Gentile dynamic, the fact that it can work, and he's also actually tipping them a little further forward by mentioning women who are hosting. And I want you to know, we've seen this thing in our studies recently in 3 John and 2 John. 2 John talked about the elect lady and the children that are in her house. It is probably speaking to a woman, but it's a woman who's probably hosting a church in her house, because it talks about her children and her children being on the street and her children talking to John and saying, John, there's a problem. We've got these Gnostics there. And it says, and your elect sister. Why the woman being amplified? Because they paid a great deal. I was reading a book recently about Oswald Chambers. You've heard the book, My Utmost for His Highest. One of the things he was doing was he was kind of stumbling forward in his Christian life. And he was really kind of a morose guy, had a real melancholy about him. He just all serious all the time. But the thing was, is that when he finally got free of a lot of that, he began to get used of the Lord in a way he never thought would happen. He died at about 40, so he didn't live a long life, but he made an impact. Because it was during the times of the Great Awakenings. And so there was a stream. And when he got on that stream, he began to realize what a blessing it was that he would just show up. He was to speak to all of the pastors in the morning at one place. And that was a pretty big deal. I mean, That was a big honor to ask. Maybe you're going to speak to the pastors. Well, all the people wanted to be there, so they just opened it up to everybody. So everybody's crowding in. This is the way it was. People couldn't get enough of Jesus during the Great Awakening. You didn't have to ask him to come. And he's sitting there, and this is where he concluded. This is what he concluded. When the fires were hot, and things were alive, and God was in the throne, and people were loving on him, as he said, the real servants that I saw there were all of those students who gave all of their time to make sure all of the things were cleared away and all of the tables were set up and all of the things. And he just gave them honor. That's what's happening. You see, you cannot understate the power of your service as underpinning and undergirding and supporting and helping the work of God go forward. How would it have been if it would have been just the, which is how we kind of see it most of the time, just the 12 and Jesus? Okay, we imagine it worked fine. They're used to being out underneath the moon or what at night and trying to make their way. But there was a lot of women there working. These men had work to do. And those women were there making sure they were fed. You know, they're eating. Did you get enough to eat? Did you get enough? How many times did he say that in a week, ladies? Do you want something more to eat? You want something to eat? You know, it's just like you're just thinking, how can I make this better? Here we have this whole concept of service. Service is so important. And he is honoring the women when he puts their name forward, is my point. He's tipping them forward so that they might understand this is honorable. What does the Bible say? And I like to end this section on this. He that is greatest among you shall be servant of all. So never, ever look at the concept of being a helper as being something demeaning. Jesus came as a servant, didn't he? The second section of this chapter is in verse 7. It says, now. Okay, that's how you know it's its own little section. Is it says, now I beseech you, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Don't you like that? Avoid them. Boy, that sounds Christian, doesn't it? Do you know, if we had a half of a backbone, we wouldn't even wonder about that. But I'm telling you, people get put off by the fact that it says avoid somebody as a Christian. And yet the Bible not only says that here, the Bible says this in Titus. It says, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. So we're not only to avoid some people, we're supposed to reject some people. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:2, I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them that heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Now, I don't know, but when Mom said, when your father gets home, it inevitably ended up with, Dad got home. And, you know, it wasn't a good moment, you know, at that point, if I had to wait all day worrying about it. And this is the Apostle Paul saying, I will not spare them. And if you know the story about Ananias and Sapphira, you don't want to get the ire up on an apostle. People drop dead in their presence sometimes. The Bible says in Galatians 5:12, I would that they were even cut off that trouble you. They were even dead. He said, I wish they would just, they were dead. I wish that they were dead. Why? Because it was a baby church and these people were coming in and they were trying to get them to go to a doctrine of works from the doctrine of grace. Is that serious? Is that serious? Do you know there's people who are thinking, that was like, I saw a meme where they had these people with a millstone that were cast into the sea, and somebody wanted to put under it, and they said, yeah, we need to kill all the people who are abusing children. They need to be killed. I put in there a little note. I said, define abuse. Because if you're not taking your children to church, if you're not bringing them up to know the Lord, if you're bringing them up godlessly, then that's abuse of its own. So take another look at the millstone in your picture. Is that true? Is that true? Because we want to look at certain things and say, that's how far it goes. No! We're not superior. What we are is sinners. And we all got a problem. And we need to be very careful that we don't look at somebody else and thus justify ourselves for not following through on what God's given us as our own personal duties.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.